Blog Talk Radio.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life.
Surgeon One's talk show, hosted by inspirational author and playwright Vanessa Richardson. The Surgeon One, aspiring to inspire. With your host, playwright, author, Vanessa Richardson. You can tune in to The Surgeon One's aspiring to inspiring talk show on www.blogtalkradio.com/thesurgeonones.com. And now, here's your host, Vanessa Richardson.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Certain Ones. I'm your host for the hour, Vanessa Richardson. Oh man, what a day it has been. I truly hope that you enjoyed your day. I certainly have. It's been very productive. There's some great things that God has been doing. I'm so excited about it. Listen, you guys, those who know me, you know that I'm also a playwright. I'm also an author. I'm so excited about this showcase. We have some awesome guests lined up. And this is what I want you to do. And you always do it. And I want to showcase my appreciation. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to be giving a giveaway, an appreciation. I don't know what it is right now, just to show my appreciation. Our Block Talk Radio show to be a what it's going to be. Sorry about that. I'm just at please, but I'm glad sticking in with me, hanging in there with me. I appreciate that. So yeah, going back to saying, as I also mentioned, I just want to give a giveaway to showcase my appreciation to you guys following us on our magazine, which as I also mentioned is now in print. April has now become available today. Today, that's right. So I'm so excited about that. So now we're in print, and I just want to showcase my appreciation to you, our viewers, and our listening audience. Love you guys, and I say this all the time. You can inspire us to do what we're doing. So moving forward, we have a wonderful show. Pastor Lavelle Butler, he's in the house. Poet Ashalon Borrego, he's in the house. Author Tiffany L. Warren, she's going to be in the building, too. I'm so excited to have them join us on talk show. So this is, again, what I want you to do. Go ahead and tweet, Facebook this, text this, call your friends, call everybody. Last week, I told you we had a powerful, powerful show. Powerful show. And it was so, I became uncouth, but in a good way. The anointing of God just was so that poignant and so powerful. The word was powerful. And for those who did not get a chance to listen to the archives, it will not behoove you to do that. You may want to go back and listen to that powerful showcase. The storm has lost its breath. Yes, somebody probably been in a storm and the intensity was just major, major. But the word was, it has now lost its breath. That is so powerful. So again, go ahead and tweet this, Facebook this. Go ahead and call your friends. Do what it is you have to do. I believe Pastor Lavelle Butler has a word for us today. Listen, first time to the show. I want to make him welcome. And I've been in my research, powerful sermons, and I'm so anxious and so excited to talk to him about this topic, which is so needed in a time such as this. And that topic is regular church is dismissed. Pause. Hold it right there. Hold it right there. Regular church is dismissed. That right there, my friends, is totally needed in such a time as this. So I want to break bread with Pastor, the prophet, the teacher. She's going to be on the Word Network, George Bloomer. Yes, I'm going to talk about that, all that good stuff. So go ahead again, call your friends, Facebook, tweet this. I'm telling you, there's a word on this show for you. And I'm so excited that this platform has been developed, has been manifested just for you and I, because don't take it for granted. Don't take it lightly. Rest assured, I feast too on our guests, and I'm so, so excited. So the number to call in if you have a question or a comment for either myself or my guest, and you know it now by heart, it is 917-9607. That number again is 917-932-1607. Press the number one. This is important. This will alert me to your arrival and the fact that you have a question or comment for either myself. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and just, I'm excited because, again, as I've mentioned, Pastor Lavelle Butler, first time here on this certain one. He's a prolific and well-sought-after preacher, pastor, and he's also the founder of Fresh Wind Empowerment Church, located in Shreveport, Louisiana, and Love Alive Family Church, Longview, Texas. Ah. Now, he's a powerful young leader, and his voice is so needed for many generations, now and beyond. So I'm so excited to introduce to him, to you guys, and this is the first time he's on the show. Make him welcome, Pastor Lavelle Butler. Welcome to the show, Pastor. How are you?
God bless you. I'm wonderful. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
Awesome. Yeah, I got you. I'm so glad
to have you on the show. Yeah, I'm glad to be on. Glad to be on. I heard so many wonderful things about you, and I count this a privilege to just be on with you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And I know you're getting ready to connect with Bishop Bloom. I had opportunity to do so on The Word. So excited about
ma'am.
To talk to you about that moment.
Yes, ma'am. Well, yeah, the first time I was on there was actually December the 12th of 2014. It was a wonderful experience. I preached on there, and actually back on there May the 20th to do an interview. So I look forward to that.
I'm excited about it. You hear that, guys? May 20th. Let's tune in and support. And Pastor, as I was researching, your topic is so prolific. That word is so apt for you. Let's talk about regular church. I want to say this slowly. Regular church.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Is dismissed. Let's talk about that. Somebody need to hear that. Somebody need to hear it.
Wow. Absolutely. You know what? I'm with you because I pastor two churches. The main church that I pastor, I've been pastoring for 8 years, okay? And God has blessed us, and we're a young, progressive church, and we're trying to get somewhere, and God is doing a wonderful job taking us there. But on that note, it's amazing that you would talk about this subject today, because the other day I had to do a funeral, and the funeral was for a young man who was 22 years old, life cut off short. Over senseless gun violence. And listen, now I pastor in a city to where it's traditional. There's a lot of church people, and you know, there's a lot of transfer growth. Church people leave one church, go to the next church, leave that church, go to the next church. And the thing about it is, we got people that are in church arguing over people who are just from one church to the next, when there are statistically more people in my city that don't go to church than do go to church. All right. And the Lord dealt with me, and he said the problem is with a lot of churches is, he said, they're too busy going after the churched people, and they're a bunch of unchurched individuals who've never been touched by who I am. And so if you go out, the Bible says the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so one thing that I want to raise today really quickly is if regular church is dismissed, all right, then the first thing that we have to do is we got to stop just preaching and teaching to those who are already churched and go out to the highways and the hedges and compel those people to come. All right?
When you look at it,
this church that God is raising up now, they don't look like the normal people. They don't dress like what we were raised on. They don't shout and dance necessarily like everybody else. And so, we can't discredit them because they don't. But rather, we got to invite them into our places, and then give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and allow them to express themselves how they express themselves. And that does not mean that we're not holding up the standard of holiness, or that does not mean that we're diminishing in our methods when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it does say that we have to be more open to allow them to come in and not judge them by what they look like. But then give them something they can believe in to hold on to. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I like what you're saying. I love what you're saying, Pastor. And let me say this. For those who are tuning in, I am live right now with Pastor Lavelle Butler.
Amen.
About regular church is dismissed.
Regular
we
church.
Have that thing where we always judge men to judging people. You know,
come
Pastor?
Come on now.
And I've just recently done some missionary work for the past 2 weeks, and God is my witness. I love missionary work. And someone was saying, she said, we were just talking about this. There's no one doing this anymore. What happened to the missionaries? What happened to the praying mothers? What happened to those who supposed to go in the highway and byway?
Pastor, what do you think happened to these things? What happened to those who should be compelling? Are we caught up in looks? Are we caught up in the accolades? What is going on?
You know what? You know what, woman of God? One thing that I say, and it sounds a little funny, but it's real. I was preaching a message one time in Houston, Texas, and I told the people, and the church was full of, the missionaries and everything else. I told them, I said, the problem is that instead of us having missionaries, we got a bunch of stationaries.
Oh.
I said, because a missionary means someone who goes. I said, missionary means someone who goes out on a mission. They don't just, their ministry is not confined to four walls. I said, but the problem is we putting on white and coming in here sitting there with hats on. I said, and we're stationary instead of missionaries. And a missionary is not just a female, I do understand. It's someone, it's anybody, male or female, that goes out. And I think the problem is we've got so lazy in Zion. You know, we think, woman of God, that the church, I told my members the other day, I said, y'all think that this church is going to fill up based upon Pastor Butler's charisma or the fact that Pastor Butler may be sought after, Pastor Butler. I said, nah, that's not how it's going to be filled up. I said, we got to go out. We got to get him. I said, we got to go out. And we can't be lazy when it comes to winning souls to Christ. Mm-hmm. So I think what has really happened is that we, instead of us being missionary, woman of God, we become stationary. We become satisfied with not doing anything and sitting around watching the world die around us.
Pastor, let me ask you this too. I identify what you're saying because I'm a PK kid, so I can see it. I understand it.
Okay.
And we do have a lot of, I like how you said that. Let's just be honest. And we just have to be honest that we have a lot of lazy people in the church. You understand? And we're supposed to go out. We got to go out. We got to compel these people. And it's going to be what's inside you, which is the word of God and faith. Listen, those who are listening, we know that God is the same. But the world is changing. The world is changing like crazy. So
it's
we
changing.
Have to be in a place where we hear God, who's the same,
right,
to reach the people
right,
because the world is changing. So how do we hear, listen to God in a world, and I said this last week, when it seems like there's more questions than answers, how do we do not give up, Pastor, in the midst of those who are lazy? How do we not exhaust ourselves in the midst of those who said, Pastor can do it? He's this and that.
Yeah.
How do we stay encouraged in the body of Christ?
You know, I feel like, woman of God, that, you know, I'm just going to keep it real. We got to go back to basics. Me personally, the way I stay encouraged, even in the midst of having a lot of people around you, with people that have lost their tenacity, I stay in my word. I stay in God's face because when nobody else can encourage me and motivate me, His presence can. And then I also stay connected to my purpose. You understand what I'm saying? And a person who does not understand their purpose is not living, they just existing. Which means they just take space, they just walking around like zombies because they don't understand their purpose. But when you are connected, I thank God for this word, when you're connected to your purpose, that thing right there won't allow you to just sit on the sideline and do nothing.
It
motivates you to do something. You understand what I'm saying?
And we
done got to the place where so many celebrities and so many divas and prima donnas in church right now. Until it's like, you know, and it's like the people are losing the focus, man. And the focus is, the church is not about us being celebrity preachers and celebrity pastors and having a fan base. Jesus Christ did not have fans. He wanted to develop followers. And it's our job as men and women of God, stay motivated enough to keep pushing His purpose into the ear gates of the individuals who will listen. And not only listen to the word, but will become doers of that same word.
Pastor, you know what? I'm standing up. You got me out my seat. I'm serious. You are talking truth, sound doctrine. You know what? Oh, my God. This is a strange season, and I know, man of God, Pastor, you know this. Mm-hmm. It's very strange what God is doing. In 26, so many people's lives are being taken.
Yes,
like
ma'am.
Today,
oh my
Golden
God.
Entertainment business. Prince is gone. What? 57?
That's it.
One in
Come
China.
On
after, these people are leaving. We are in the end time.
Yes, ma'am.
Pastor, they Harriet leaving. Tubman is now on the $20 bill. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All these
yes,
things
ma'am.
Are taking place. God is speaking. He's doing new things in the body of Christ. And I want to be caught up in them. I want to hear them. I don't want to be forever learning and then not coming into understanding. So many people are still learning and not coming into true understanding. And I know I'm probably get a lot of flack for this. But, Pastor, I did not know. You might stand a celebrity in the church. We have people who have stylists. I'm not saying anything wrong with this, who dress them. I don't understand.
Right.
I'm not saying anything wrong with that because I need it myself.
But when it
comes to fan base, come on. And it's a balance. I understand balance. Can you explain to us, teach me, if you will. I understand the balance.
Yes,
but the Bible says when you take on Christ, you take on his ways, his means.
Oh, my God.
It's what we're supposed to do for him. And I understand what balance is. You don't want to go crazy and all that. You got this time and God give you release. But let's talk about that balance. I can't go to a certain concert and contaminate my spirit and God is here.
Right.
Oh, Vanessa's about to get in trouble right here. Let's talk about realness. How do we stay authentic to the body of Christ? How do we do this so we can compel? Because listen, it's not about words anymore. Because people have been hurt in the church. So how do we compel them based on truth and truth? Let's say that.
This is such a wonderful conversation. Let me say this. I want to say a couple of things. First of all, very, very quickly, the way we stay relevant, first of all, is that we can't be so deep that we act like we are not in the know of the things that are going on. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I started in my house first. I got a 19-year-old daughter, and I got an 18-year-old daughter, and I got a 6-year-old daughter. So the 19-year-old and the 18-year-old are still very active in my church. They live in the house with me. And so as a father first, in order for me to stay relevant to them, I got to understand and know what they're dealing with and what they're listening to and what they're around. I don't have to condone it, but I must be in the know of it. If I'm going to compel them to move to a more excellent place from where they are, I can't compel them from where they are if I don't know what they are. You understand what I'm saying? So I can't be so sanctimonious and so deep as a pastor until I lose connection with the reality of their situations. And I think what the church is doing is we're so deep until we live in a false world. We're detached from the reality of people's real situation. And the reality of their situation is a lot of people wasn't raised in church. They weren't raised in the Church of God in Christ or the apostolic or the whatever else. These are people that come from places of hurt and molestation and their mothers were on crack or their fathers were in jail. And so in order for you to win those people, they got to feel like that there's something about you that they can relate to. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that you have been through the same thing they've been through, but there was something that you've been through that can make you identify with somebody else that's going through something. You understand what I'm saying?
And then
you have to have compassion. When you deal with sin, woman of God, we cannot deal with sin from a place of judgment. We have to deal with sin from a place of compassion.
Yes.
We as men and women of God cannot sit up in a perch place and preach down to people. We got to get to where they are and then bring them up to another level. You understand what I'm saying? So the way we stay relevant, the way we stay real is not to detach ourselves from our reality nor their reality, but to embrace what we've been through, tell them that God has brought us out, and then don't just tell them to come out, but get in there with them and help bring them out. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen. I do. And everything you're saying, Pastor, the thing is you're right. We have to become informed. I have a degree in pre-law political science. I'm currently pursuing my master's in history. Now, the teaching is this. Do not become judgmental. You're not supposed to pass judgment as we dig up truth. That's what historians do. We dig up facts and findings.
Yes, ma'am.
And once you dig up the facts and findings, your perspective must be neutral. What's inside me, you can't apply.
Oh, my God.
Apply to other people's lifestyles. Because if I have not been through what you've been through, how am I going to reach you? You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
So I have to listen to you to get
the
teaching or become informed. So I'm listening
to
you. So we got to be informed with our youth. We got to be informed just be informed, because a lot of people come to me, Pastor. This is what I had to learn. And words are so succulent. Words are enticing. It sounds so good. But you have to have the fact. And the Bible have the fact. It is what it is. And the Bible has everything. And I'm enjoying this conversation, as you said. So we do have to be informed, be empowered.
Yes,
And
yes,
you said something poignant, because somebody listening, Pastor, about being connected to the purpose.
Yes.
Let's
yes,
talk about
yes.
that. How, if we're connected okay. to the purpose, because the devil will come and try to make us abort the purpose. He will come
oh
and
God.
Make us try to get so exhausted in our purpose. And you're a pastor, I know it's tiring. I think being a pastor
yeah.
is higher than being an executive and an office.
Oh, my
you know?
God. It's crazy.
I believe, truly believe that. So I pray for
it's
y'all
crazy.
All the time.
Because
you deal with
it's
people,
crazy.
You know, in a spiritual realm, not a business
uh-huh.
realm. So let's talk about not exhausting ourselves. Let's talk about keeping the faith. Let's talk
yes,
about
ma'am.
God is going to do it. Let's talk about the turnaround. Because I feel in my spirit, Pastor, that someone out there has been laboring in the vineyard. As you said, there are so many fruits out there, but the labels are few. Let's talk about the
yeah.
remnant. How do we encourage the
yeah.
remnant to keep on doing what they're doing in a season such as this?
You know what? Again, I keep on saying this. This is a wonderful conversation. I mean it. This is great. I'm so glad I'm talking to you today. Let
Thank
me say
you.
This, and then you help me with this, woman of God, if you can. The way that we encourage the remnant is when I look at the story of David, I look at the fact that David, before he got his biggest platform, David had to spend some time in the pasture. All right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think the problem with a lot of people these days is that they seek the platform, or they're so concerned about a greater platform until they are downplaying the pastor experience. Now, it was the pastor experience that got David to his greatest platform, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
if you notice in the scripture, when David went to his greatest platform, when he defeated Goliath, he went right back to the same place that was the trampoline that got him to that platform. He never neglected
Teach.
The pastor, because the pastor was where he learned how to worship with no watchers. The pastor was the place where he learned how to worship where he worked, and when he worshiped where he worked, it prepared him for war. All I'm
mm-hmm.
simply saying is that for those remnant that need to be encouraged, please let David's story encourage you, because the Bible did say that God told the prophet, I prepared for myself a king in Jesse's house. But watch this. But when the prophet went down to Jesse's house, David was
mm-hmm.
not in Jesse's house. David
yes.
was out in the pasture. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And
yes.
those
yes.
that were in the house walking around looking like the one were not the one. And
yes.
they had to give the one that was working a standing ovation, because when he came in, it was
yes.
then that the all tilted. I want hallelujah, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage
speak.
Somebody that's listening, even right now, that's discouraged, and you feel like your time ain't going to come. God told me to tell 28 people that's listening right now by the word of prophecy.
Woo!
God said, tell you he's about to bring the sons and daughters in from the field.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Woo!
So don't
Woo!
You ever, discredit your pastor experience. Don't you ever trade that experience for a platform, because if you stay in the pastor long enough, it will get you your greatest platform.
Woo!
That's why
I'm
gonna set that down right there. I'm gonna let that marinate just right there, y'all. That's all. I can't. I'm gonna stop talking before I start preaching on this phone.
It's all right. You got it.
I was about to get happy and go right in right there, but I'm gonna sit it down.
Take
a sit cup down right there.
Pastor, this is like a precursor to when he's going on the Word Network, you guys, with Bishop. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This,
I'm gonna do that.
Stuff.
No, this is what I'm gonna talk about. This is what I'm gonna talk about.
I didn't know that.
I'm gonna talk about
that good?
Yeah, yeah. The Lord put it in my spirit, and I wanna elaborate on it if I have time to do it or whatever. But I wanna care. Listen. I literally came from being like what people consider like a no name. You know, my father mm-hmm. is a great man of God, and my mama, I came through a great lineage of preaching and pastoring. But my mother and my father went through a divorce when I was 17 years old. I didn't start preaching until I was 19. But they went
mm-hmm.
through a divorce, and one of the greatest couples in the city with one of the greatest churches. The church split. People left. It was crazy, and I felt like I was left with nothing. And I had to walk in the shadow of somebody else's mistake for years. And I felt like
mm.
God had forgot me. I felt like God had left me alone. I felt like I was never going to be there. I watched my peers go up on their father's name. I watched people preach on platforms I wish I could have. And slowly but surely, that God blessed me. And God told me, he said, boy, when I bless you, he said, no man would take credit for what I do for you. Yeah, you've been through hell, and you felt like you were forgotten. He says, but many are called, but few are chosen. And those that are
yeah.
chosen, listen, God ain't giving you nothing easy. You got to fight for what you're going to get. And then
that's
even
right.
while you're in your time of waiting, what God is doing is God is not denying you. God is stretching you to make, and He's stretching you and helping you to facilitate what it is you keep on asking for. So
yes.
I came from nothing to where I am right now by the grace of God.
Yes.
And I got
yes.
so much further to go. So I just want to encourage somebody, man, to keep on pushing and keep on holding on. God ain't forgot about you. God just making you ready for His grand blessing that He has for you.
Amen. Amen. You guys just coming in. That is Pastor Lavelle Butler. Let me tell you, listen, I'm going to be saying this. We got a couple of minutes. He said, sons and daughter, you about to come in from the field. That's a praise right
from the
there.
Field. Right there.
From the
That's
field.
A praise break right there.
That's a praise
right
there.
Woo!
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
We've
been
so,
able to do it for a night, but joy coming in the morning.
Joy. Oh, I love it. I
yeah,
love
yeah.
the word. I love it.
Amen.
How can we reach
God
out
bless
to you? Maybe they want to bring you to conferences. Maybe they want to bring you into their
okay.
churches. Where do we, how do we
All
reach
right.
out to you? Your handles.
Well, I'm going to give you a number, and I'm going to give you an email address, and then I'll give you my
okay.
Facebook thing. The number that if anybody want to reach out to Pastor Butler, even after this, to talk to me or whatever, or to the number is area code 469-652-0205. Again, that's 469-652-0205. My email address is T as in Tom, T. Lavelle, L-O-V-E-L-L-E, Ministries, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-I-E-S. So tlavelleministries@gmail.com. That's my email address, tlavelleministries@gmail.com. And you can find me on Facebook under Lavelle Butler, L-O-V-E-L-L-E-B-U-T-L-E-R, Lavelle Butler.
Oh, I love it.
Feel free to hit me at any one of those. Whatever, I'm a real down-to-earth pastor, man. People be inboxing me all the time, and when I respond, they be like, is this really you, and it's really me? Nobody runs my page. I run my page, and, you know, because I believe in doing true ministry, all right? So y'all call me, 469-652-0205, or email me, tlavelleministries@gmail.com, or Facebook, Lavelle Butler. You can catch me at either one of those. God bless.
That's awesome. And also the date, the Word Network. Your parents.
I'll be
when
on the Word
up?
Network May the 20th. It's going to be
yeah.
Friday, May the 20th. I'll be on doing an interview with Bishop George Bloomer, and hopefully we can elaborate on some of the stuff that we've talked about here on this wonderful, anointed
yes.
radio broadcast.
Oh, thank you so much. You know what? If I can't be there because we have church on Fridays, DBR,
yes.
you guys, so there's no excuses. That's right. I'm so excited about and for the movement. Pastor, let me tell you, and YouTube channel, throw that out there.
Oh yeah, yeah. My YouTube channel just I'm on YouTube. Y'all go type in Pastor Lavelle Butler, L-O-V-E, or Superintendent Lavelle Butler. Just type in Lavelle Butler. It's got a million clips on there, a bunch of old stuff, bunch of you know, it people put stuff up all over the, from all over the place, y'all. So go watch. And let me say this to you, woman of God, real quick. I want to prophesy to you on the radio. God's gonna give you a greater platform. God's gonna expand your listeners. He's going to expand your territory because you have something that you've been through. You have ministry on the inside. You that has to be shared to a larger place, and God's going to do that. I have a decree and declare that by August, God's going to give you a brand new door that will propel you to the place that you desire to be. In Jesus' name.
I receive it. She's going to make me start speaking in tongues.
I almost did it a while ago, so you ain't by yourself. I almost took off running.
See, we walk into the spirit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is awesome.
I could not be on and not release a word to the woman of God that's facilitating this wonderful avenue for ministry to go forward. God bless you, woman of God.
Oh, God bless you, and I appreciate it, and I receive it in the name of the Father. Thank
yeah.
you so much.
I do have a
caller. Do you have a minute? Someone
okay.
have a question. Hold on one
okay.
minute. Let's bring them on. Area code 818, I do see you. Do you have a question or a comment for either myself or the prophet? He's in the building. Welcome to the show, 818. 818, you're on the call. You have a question or comment for myself or the prophet?
They may be disconnected.
They're still there. I guess they want to tune in and just listen. That's fine.
Okay.
well, we'll conclude there. Thank you, 818. You did press the number one. I see the question. That's okay. Thank you for tuning in anyway. So, Pastor Lavelle,
right.
I really appreciate the word of God. And for those who are listening, go back, this is going to be made available on demand immediately after the show ends. So go back and listen to the archives, get the information. I want to implore you, really, you guys, go to the YouTube channel. It blessed my soul immensely. And let's support the Word Network. Greater Daughters open to
you
too, Pastor. I believe that. I'm so
thank
glad
you.
To connect
thank
it
you so
with
much.
You. And I got to have you back
so
on.
Much, yeah.
Don't forget me now.
Let's do it. You got my information, so when you get an opportunity, reach out to me. Well, let's talk about some dates.
Shall do. You got it. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much for having me. Okay,
my
no
pleasure.
Problem.
Have a good one.
All right. You too. God bless.
There it is. Love you, Pastor, in the name of the Father.
All right.
You guys, there we have it. I love this platform. I absolutely love it. I need a break. I just get so encouraged and motivated when God's anointing the point of people come on the show and be authentic and real. There's a mantle on him. I'm telling you, he got some oil on him. He has some oil, and I told you that. You better listen to me. I'm not kidding. Pastor Lavelle Butler, I want to implore you. Go to the YouTube channel. It's like he's really talking directly to you. And for me, he was. He's going to be on the Word Network, Bishop Bloomer. This time he's going to be interviewed. Last time in December, he preached the words. For those who tuned in December, you know there's some oil on Pastor Lavelle Butler. So I'm so glad to have him on the show. First time, we're going to bring him back. Hear me. We're going to bring him back on several occasions. I feel that. Thank God for divine connections. Thank God for divine connections. So we're going to take a break as I marinate on, listen to this, your sons and your daughters. God's going to bring them from the field. I want to say that again. Your sons and your daughter, God is about to bring them in from the field. So if somebody out there having a pastor experience, listen, God gonna bring in the right one. He's gonna have a stand. You're gonna have a standing ovation. Don't go by what it looks like, because it seemed like the other son should have been the one. God's getting ready to bring somebody from the backfield, out of the backwoods. So don't feel that you're behind time. Stop looking around. Stop having ASAP experiences. Those who follow me, you know what I mean by that. ASAP looked around and he said, "Look like my enemies. Look like those who are doing bad. What? Look like they're prospering better than I am. And I'm trying to do right and be right." So I want to encourage you. Don't give up. You want to know why? God is getting ready to bring your sons and your daughters from the field. That's a praise right there. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Ashalon Borrego. He is our featured poetry as we celebrate Poetry Month for the month of April. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after this brief message.
Do you feel like you waste time on social media? Are you overwhelmed with all the information about online marketing? Do you want to be able to effectively manage your online presence? Set up a one-on-one consultation with DIY with Ty.com. Taora Moody, known simply as Ty, has over 12 years of experience and a down-to-earth personality that has put over 100 clients at ease. At DIYwithTy.com, we aim to take the mystery out of the geeky stuff in a way that anyone can understand, so you can learn how to do it yourself.
The Certain Ones has become a movement in motivation and inspiration. Our mantra is aspiring to inspire. Have you subscribed to The Certain Ones on YouTube? Log on today at www.youtube.com/TheCertainOnes and join in the movement too. Enjoy daily doses of inspiration and motivation. Are you ready? Let's go get it. And now back to the show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, and her special guests.
Baby, you trust and depend on me. Indicates you know I'm strong. I love the fact you turn to me whenever things go wrong. I'm honored to be that man you know you can always count on. Whenever you have a problem, please believe. So do I. I can feel your pain, so your tears, I cry. but there's only so much I can do as a man. Baby, I can't lie. Yet whatever it takes to keep you strong, I promise I'll try. Baby, there's nothing I won't do for you, even die. I really do love you. Yes, I really and truly do. Yet I can't save you. It's time for you to trust in God, the God that made you. I know you're feeling empty, and deep inside a void needs to be filled. The answer to your problems goes far beyond a thrill, far beyond your emotions and what you feel. Baby, now's not the time for us to lay. Now's the time for us to come together and pray. I know your spirit man is worn against your flesh, prohibiting you from being your best and enticing you to settle for less. Baby, I can't join you when you fuss. Now's the time for me to be strong, for the both of us. I really do love you. Yes, I really and truly do. Yet I can't save you. It's time for you to trust in God, the God that made you. I know deep in my heart you're stronger than what you're choosing. It's not that you can't do it, baby, you're just refusing. We're in this together, so know that we're both losing. Entertaining thoughts that's selfish and confusing. Entertainment to many that find us to be amusing. I'm asking you to trust in God and allow our love to be a testimony, even if it means you having to be by yourself for a while and lonely. Just trust and obey God, and know deep in your heart I love you and you only. I really do love you. Yes, I really and truly do. Yet I can't save you. It's time for you to trust in God, the God that made you.
Welcome back to the Certain Ones Block Talk Show, where I'm your host for the delightful hour, Vanessa Richardson. For those who are just tuning in, you just listened to poet Ashlan Borrego. Ah, I love that song. He sent me several MP3s, but he will find me playing this one in heavy rotation. I love this song. I love it. I can't save you. And Ashlan Borrego, greatness is in store for him. Listen, look at the name itself, Ashlan Borrego. And he's my brother. That's my brother. As we celebrate April National Poetry Awareness Month, he actually, first time, those who know me know that I'm also, as I mentioned, I am a playwright. He starred in our stage production 2 years ago, and he performed one of his numbers in the stage production. Let me tell you, it was overwhelming. Had people like, like he's a celebrity. Ashlan, not he is, you know. Ashlan was on stage, he's performing. They just ran in, you know, people's in the hallway. They came out the hallway, just like, he's performing, you know. And he just did a phenomenal job opposite of singer Anitra Howard. So listen, that right there, that was indicative that there's greatness for him. It really is. I love that song. And here's breaking news. Listen, you guys, you're going to start hearing about this in heavy rotation also. This year, right now, those who are tuned in, this is breaking news for you guys, awesome news. we are doing, again, with Ashalon Borrego, he's connecting with me. We're doing the stage production, Redemption, one word, Redemption, December 17th. And we're also bringing back actor Tony Grant. He stars in Tyler Perry's Love Thy Neighbor. He starred in The Marriage Counselor and several, Why Did I Get Married? He starred in those stage productions and his wife, the lovely, incomparable Trisha Man Grant. That's right. We have a phenomenal, I'm so excited. I literally got the chills when I said that, for real. That's how this is going to be. I don't know. I got this like radar. Something happened when I get chills. That something good is going to happen. I literally got the chills right now. I don't say that often, but I have the chills when I said that. Redemption is going to be premiering December 17th. Tony Grant, Trisha Mann, Ashalon Borrego. So far, those are the three, and we've got three more actors that's coming into the mix. And let me tell you, this is going to be off the chain. Go ahead and set the calendar. Go ahead and follow me if you have not done so already. Follow me on one of my channels, YouTube, Facebook. Just Google us, The Certain Ones, and you want to follow us for this production. I'm telling you, this production is going to be one of our best. I really believe that. And I know I'm saying this early. It's just in April, getting ready for December. That's how hard and that's how fierce I'm going in to promote this production. Redemption, starring Tony Grant and Trisha L. Mann Grant and Ashalon Borrego. And Ashalon Borrego is known as a poetic soul provider. And let me tell you, I'm on his page right now. He's got Daddy Loves You. He got Women Rise Over Pain, Emotional Issues, Poetic Soul Provider. He got Bitter Brother and My Love Not Worth a Damn. That's right. Ashalon, you're going to have to give me that album, okay, so I can, like, pump it in my car and all that, because I be listening to it on YouTube and my music be going when I be writing and all that. So, welcome back, Brother Ashalon Borrego. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm so excited to have you join us again. As I mentioned, I Can't Save You is one of my best pieces of yours.
Well, thank you, thank you. First of all, before we get started on me, I want to comment on that, Pastor. I was actually trying to get in. I think I had my phone on mute. I'm not sure. But that's a powerful brother. I was inspired listening to him. That was a good conversation you guys had. And, wow, that's all I can say.
Yes.
He's filled with a lot of spiritual knowledge. I definitely was inspired. You had some good questions for him, too, and he handled them.
Yes, that's inside him. Those were spontaneous, and it was not rehearsed. That came from within. That's truth, you guys. I'm telling you, you want to connect with him and watch him on the Word Network. Let's break bread, Brother Ashalon. Where did that song come from? I Can't Save You.
Wow. Actually, you know something? That came from me being a typical man, going into relationships, wanting to be that guy that term is still used, you know, I'm the man, you know, wanting to be the man, wanting to be everything, every aspect of that woman's life, and then realized I wasn't equipped to be that, that I could be a lot of things, but I couldn't be Christ. And because of what I desire to be and what I push forward, a lot of the women that I dated at the time bought into it. And so they called me on it. Okay, this man is saying he won't be my everything right now. I need you to be my savior. And I'm like, after trying to do so, not consciously trying to do so, but realizing that I was, you know, accepting a role that I wasn't equipped for, I had to get in my lane. And that's because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and let me know that I was out of my role and put me in a humble place. So the poem, you know, it's not, you know, to go against, you know, any woman or whatever, but it's to for myself and any man to fall in his role and fall in our place and say, look, I can be many things for you, and I love you, and I want to be everything to you, but I can't be Christ. I can't be your savior. But together we can grow, you know, with him present in our hearts. Hello? Hello, you still there?
I'm here.
Hello.
Hey, Sorry, guys, I'm back. Technical difficulties. I'm so sorry. Let's carry
that's
on.
That's understandable. That's understandable. But that's pretty much where that poem came from. It came from a particular personal relationship, you know, with my mm-hmm. daughter's mom. However, I realized that I had tried to be more than I was equipped to be in relationships prior. That particular one just exposed me. And when you're sincere about the love you have in a relationship, you know, you don't go blaming anyone. You cry out to God and allow him to show you where you're falling short at, and that he showed me.
Absolutely. I had an opportunity to connect with Ashlan. It's amazing how God connected us. And this stemmed back from my space, you guys. You know how far back that goes. But God has connected us. But Ashlan, we learned some things. Every round go higher and higher. And in you, there's a passion or burden to reach young boys and young men to come together to inspire and motivate. Let's talk about that. I think you have something planned or in the works to connect with individuals such as that.
Well, pretty much, you know something, Vanessa, I realize that my gift is poetry. It's not just something I choose. It's not just what is a talent. God speaks about talents in the Bible and how we use our talents or whatever, and I wasn't using my talents wisely because I didn't realize what it was worth. But long story short, it's a gift that I have, and I understand the power of it, and I try to use it to reach men and young men to overcome a lot of the obstacles that we have. And our biggest obstacle is we really don't know how to communicate what we're feeling, what our heart is feeling. We're stuck in trying to be what we are equipped to be in relationships and going into these relationships with good intentions, but we're falling short because we're not making conscious decisions to equip ourselves to go before God and allow him to show us our weaknesses, our strengths, so that he can mold us and grow us to be the men that we're purposed to be. So I use this gift of poetry to try to reach men and to encourage them and to motivate them to try to become more of who they are in Christ, because when we operate in our purpose and in our role, only then can we succeed in these things that we desire. Now, you will have some men that even, you know, they're in denials. You know, I don't care about that woman. I don't care about this. That's not true. I run across so many brothers that are heartbroken. They turn into anger and violence and alcohol and weed and you name it because they don't know how to deal with those heartfelt moments, those issues, those emotional issues that we tag women with, but men have them too. So I try to reach men so that we can become better communicators. I try to be an example of how to better communicate because I had to learn that myself, how to accept my role as a man. And God saying that we are the head, we really don't understand what that means. That means we lead. So when men say, well, she's doing this and she's doing that, well, guess what? If you want her to do anything different than what she's doing, you have to do it first. You have to lead. You have to be the example. And that's a hard pill to swallow. You have to mature into that thing because a lot of us men are not taught and raised that way. So you have to mature into it. And we can't have the excuse, well, I didn't have a father, or I don't have a father, because you have a heavenly father. And he's more powerful than our earthly father. Because guess what? I lived in the same household as my earthly father. But I didn't learn these things from my earthly father. I had to learn them through my heavenly father. You know, the streets of Los Angeles raised me. But he wouldn't allow me to use that as an excuse to not be what he has called me to be. So I'm very compassionate, but I take no excuses when men come to me and say, you know, this, that, or the other, because I haven't been able to give any excuses. You know, at the end of the day, well, all that matter are results. And we can't get the results that we need to succeed as men in our relationships and in our lives unless we have Christ as our head.
That is so powerful. You know, I want to take it to another another platform, but I'm not going to do that because time doesn't permit me. And we do have Tiffany L. Warren. She's waiting in our virtual studio. Welcome, Tiffany. Welcome back. But Ashlan here, beautiful Lauren Borrego, absolutely. Adore Lauren also, and he has a beautiful son now, just beautiful. And I really wanted to talk about this because I was on the show a couple years ago as far as relationship go. I want to bring them back. But Ashlan, talk to me. How fall in love, or to love is scary. You have to really be willing to let go and fall in love, because the mind is rational, logical. The heart isn't. it's foolish. That's why we do foolish things when we let the heart lead. If your mind say don't fall in love, you're not going to do it. I know for a fact. I do that all the time. When it comes to assassin situations, my mind will say, Vanessa, girl, and I listen to my mind, I won't do it. But if my heart says, Vanessa, that cake look good, girl, go and indulge, enjoy it. And I go ahead and do it, I'll get the chocolate, and it's good. You know, my mind logically tells me to get that chocolate and eat it, and you be willing to suffer the consequences. That means adding power to stuff, you know. If you're diabetic, making your sugar rise. So things like that nature, of that nature. So I really, what stuck out with me, Ashram, coming in bits and pieces in our conversation was this. You said the streets raised you. True. And when you married your wife, you said you knew, that stuck out with me as a single woman. You said, I knew how to provide. Meaning, yeah, you knew how to put the food on the table and all that. But I think you said something else. I cannot remember. You said, I knew how to provide, but I didn't know how good. Do you remember something to this effect? Like
I didn't know how to.
How to say,
I didn't know how to lead. I didn't know how to lead. I knew how to provide, and the world teaches. Even you know my mother. She made it clear. You know, as a man, you have to do these things, but it was all, you know, set on the foundation of provision.
Mm-hmm.
My father, nor my mother, nor anyone, not even the streets of Los Angeles, taught me how to lead in a relationship. The Bible did. My Holy Spirit led me and guided me through God. And that's a big factor because we want a lot of credit. You know, we paying the bills and we taking care of this and, you know, we wine and dining and doing these things. You know, we want credit. We want to be put on a pedestal. But it means nothing if we can't get you through that spiritual empty moment that you experience because you're torn and the enemy is tugging at you and he wants you and he's trying to disrupt your purpose. And if the only thing I have on my mind is the honeymoon, then I'm not going to see what he's doing to you, and I'm not going to go in warfare with you. And that's so important that we men are equipped to go into warfare for our wives and our children. You know, it's a part of the relationship that I wasn't prepared for. No one taught me or even spoke of it. So I went into the relationship being a great provider. I had to learn how to lead. I had to learn how to trust what God is doing in me and to see my wife in the physical, but allow God to show me what she's dealing with in the spirit and then going to spiritual warfare with her. You know, the same thing with my son. People think, you know, what's wrong with these kids, this, that, the other? You don't know the attack that's happening to our young people unless you're in the spirit. You have to be able to see in the spirit. Everything happened in the spirit first, you know, so I had to learn in order for me to be a good leader, I had to better get an understanding of the spiritual realm and how God uses us in the spiritual realm. And he says in all getting, get understanding, and we take that for granted, but it's real.
That's right. For those that's tuning in, we are on with Poet Ashlan Borrego, also known as the Poet, Poetic Soul Provider. And you're talking some good stuff here, Ashlan. Okay, in closing, this is a deep, tough topic, so I want to bring you back. So within a minute or two, let's talk about this. And I want to talk to some women, too, who probably in their marriage have lost themselves in their marriage or just don't know who they are to give them their all, not just for women, but maybe men, too. But since I'm a woman, let's talk to you, Ashlam, in this realm. If a woman's husband is dealing with insecurities, how do she help him? Can she help him, or is this something, a self thing, that only he can do for himself? Certainly we can support him, but if you have dealing with insecurities, and because I've seen it before, stories such as this, I help you, I've given you this, I'll give you the best of my years, and you find that the more she helps, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just saying this scenario, he does not appreciate it or cannot acknowledge, maybe he's hurting, I don't know, whatever the case may be. He cannot receive her aid because of his insecurities. How do we, as a woman, support him without losing ourselves? And how do we, let's see, if he doesn't want to receive it, what do we do?
Wow, let me tell you, you have some great questions. Oh, my goodness. That really is a great question. I'm going to try to answer that without, you know, going too far to the realm of, There's two factors in that. The one factor is having good intentions. Any woman that loves her husband is going to try to build his self-esteem and build his morale and all that kind of stuff. She loves him. She's going to try to do that. But the thing is, she's going to do it in the natural. Too many of them do it in the natural, meaning that, you know, you'll pick something that he loves to do, maybe work out or whatever. You tell him, you know, hey, you got a nice body, or you real good on your job. And all those things are welcome. However, the truth is, our identity is truly found in Christ. And I know that that sounds kind of cliche or whatever, but it's real. Identity is found in Christ. So how she can truly support him and help him, she's going to have to get into the Word herself and go before God herself and allow God to guide her and be the voice. Let God speak through her on his behalf, lead him to Scripture, lead him to his identity, help him to find his identity in Christ. And that's what's going to help build him up. I don't care what position we hold on our job. I don't care how much money we make, what kind of car we drive. It does not complete us. And a lot of times we're feeling empty. It's a spiritual void that we're trying to fill, and we doesn't realize that. So what happens is he doesn't feel like, you know, he's been satisfied, so he go to seek, you know, women outside the relationship, only to find that they don't do it either, whatever, because it's a spiritual void that needs to be filled. So that would be my thing. First of all, she can't take it personal when he doesn't welcome her aid, because 9 out of 10, it may be something in the natural that she's trying to offer, and that's not it's not fulfilling, because what he's seeking and what he's needing is something spiritual. So my advice to that woman would be to get on your face, get on your hands and knees, and go before God and cry out to him and let God lead you to the Scriptures that you need, not only for yourself, but to share with your husband. My wife had to do that for me because I was going through that the early part of our marriage. And she suggested we started reading the book, The Love Languages, or whatever. And she made sure I read it too, because each chapter we had to discuss three things in each chapter. So she was like, Gary, I couldn't pretend like I read it. And it was pretty cool, though, because it was fun. I didn't want to do it at first, but it was fun. And then I got to learn some things about her that we probably wouldn't have talked about in a typical conversation. So, I mean, it's ladies, I'm telling you, God is real, and he's the answer to all your issues you have in your marriage and your relationships. He really is. Trust me on that.
Yes, he is. You answered that beautifully, because it was a deep question. You answered that
was a good question.
The thing is this, to keep God first, I'm telling you. Like that movie, War Room, get in your prayer closet, really, and kick the devil out of your house and in your marriage. And it may sound basic to somebody, but it's so true. And again, when you do, it's a deep cut. We're going to bring you back. Okay, Ashlan, can we do that? It's too deep. So I got Tiffany and Stephen, our virtue situation in our studio. But let's give you a handle. Where can we reach out to you, Ashlan? Maybe we want to bring you to conferences, poetry readings and things of that nature. Your handle, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, throw that out there for us.
You know something? You can reach me by my email address, which is poeticsoulprovider@gmail.com. I'm going to bring my Facebook back up, but I got off Facebook for a while because it was distracting me and I wasn't getting as much writing done and being as disciplined or obedient in my gift like I should. So I spent all of 2015 doing that, and there are some doors opening up in 2016, which is going to lead me to bring my Facebook back up. But until then, definitely reach me on poeticsoulprovider@gmail.com. And you can just Google my name, which is kind of difficult, but A-C-H. O-L-A-M, Birago, B-I-R-A-G-O, and you can Google me, and anything that I'm doing or associated with will come up, which is even my albums and my poetry and live performances on YouTube and all of that.
You're not going to be disappointed, you guys. You're going to thank me. And again, he's joining us again. We're joining forces December 17th, you guys. Redemption. I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy this stage production. Tony Grant coming back, Trishel Mann Grant, and Ashlan Borrego, that's right. Ashlan, I hope you have some more pieces, some original pieces that we can incorporate in this stage.
Oh, my God.
You do.
I do. I have a piece right now entitled A Letter to the Black Woman. Powerful, powerful. And I have a piece. I have more than these two pieces, but these are the two that really stand out, the black family. I mean, very strong, life-changing. I'm very pleased in what God is asking of me right now. And I can honestly say, unlike maybe the last project that I worked on, I'm more willing in this phase of my walk than I was, because I didn't really understand my gift and what he was doing with me in my last phase. But this phase, I have a better understanding of what God is asking of me and what he's doing of me. So it's very powerful. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You hear that, guys. You hear that. I'm telling you, connect with us. Connect with us December 19th, 17th, pardon me, Redemption, Ashlan Borrego, Vanessa Richardson, Tony L. Grant, Tony Grant, Trisha L. Matt Grant. We're hitting hard. Thank you, Ashlan. I enjoyed you. Once again, great conversation. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I love your show. I love talking to you on the air and off the air. We have some of the best conversations. And, yes, I'm looking forward to returning. I'm looking forward to this project that we got going on. It's going to be powerful. It really is.
I'm telling you. You guys better connect with us. You don't want to miss it. You do not. But, Ashlan, before you go, 1 minute. 1 minute. Maybe there's a man out there, a young boy out there, who's feeling very discouraged. Give us some words of encouragement before you go.
I would say to any man out there that's feeling discouraged right now, you're going through a breaking, and it's a breaking that your wife, your girlfriend, your boy, your wife, nobody can bail you out of. You can run to them if you want. You're just wasting your time. It's a breaking that each and every man have to go through. People don't understand, in order to be reborn, you have to die first. And that's what you're doing. You're dying of self. You're dying of that old mindset, that worldly mindset, and it hurts. I hear women talk about how they feel when they give birth to a child. And when I went through it, that's the only thing I could compare it to, hearing my mom and my wife talk about, you know, that experience or whatever, because it's just an emotional thing. I mean, for a man to just break down and you're crying for no reason and you feel some kind of way because men are not supposed to do this, I'm telling you, you're going through breaking, and don't abort it. Let God help you die yourself so that you can be born again in the spirit, because that's where your purpose happens. That's where your calling is. You have to go through it. Don't turn back. There's nothing in the world worth holding on to keep you from allowing this process to take place. Trust me, it's worth it. Anybody want to know what their purpose is and actually feel the true essence of who they are, you have to go through this rebirth. That's real.
That's real. Thank you, Ashlan. That's real right there. I appreciate you. Looking forward to working with you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Oh, man. What a powerful showcase. I told you that we have already. Top of the hour, Pastor Lavelle Butler. What? In the middle, poet Ashlan Borrego. Now we have author Tiffany L. Wong. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about her alibi series and her latest book, which is titled The Pastor's Husband. We love an intrigue. I do. And Tiffany is full of it. So don't touch that dial, you guys. We're coming back after this short break, and we're going to talk about what? The Pastor's Husband.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book? Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out mitchell-productions.com or find them at facebook.com/mitchellproductions.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Vanessa Richardson. I'm so excited to introduce to you my next guest, which is Tiffany L. Warren. I actually had her book in my library, had no idea that I'd one day be interviewing Tiffany. I have farther than I meant to go, longer than I meant to stay. I have my book. That's right. Tiffany, she is a national best-selling author. Not only that, she's also a songwriter, and she's one of my favorite things to do, too, which is playwright. She's a playwriter. I'm so happy to have her. One of her plays, my definition is what a sister should do, the stage play. I mean, that debuted in Cleveland, Ohio a while back, so I'm excited about that. And that had Christopher Williams and Gary Jenkins, you know, little G, who's in the house, you know, so I'm excited to talk to her about The Pastor's Husband. But I first want to talk about her series, The Lies Alibi. Now, she has several books, but I want to talk about that, okay? Chocolate Dreams, The Bishop Daughter, I can go on. God has really blessed her. He really has. So I'm so excited to have this inspirational author, playwright, join us here in A Certain One. Tiffany, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I've been listening
to
your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for hanging in there with us over time, but I think I'm still sticking in. So let's go ahead. I want to talk about your alibi. When I was right doing my research, I'm like, that's good. I mean, you have some good intrigues written here, so congratulations on that end. But let's go ahead and talk about your lies and alibis. Listen, you guys, the first one is lies and alibis, more lies and alibis, dirty lies and alibis. Those right there stuck out with me the most. But we're going to talk about the past that has been. Let's go ahead and talk about the lies and alibis series. How did that come about?
The lies and alibis series was really just something fun for my readers. I write a lot of spiritually charged, faith-based fiction. And I wanted to write something that was just full of drama and twists and turns from start to finish. And so that's what the Lies and Alibis series was. It's about three sisters, and Camille, Sydney, and Dion. And they all have just a lot of issues and drama. Sydney is a doctor. And she works with the one man who broke her heart, and she's never been able to recover from that. So when he reaches out again to try to win her heart, she finds out more secrets. Sir Dion is married to a record producer, Rod Knight, and he has more shenanigans than you can count. He's got artists that were strippers or currently strippers, and he's got so many secrets and lies that when his wife finds out about him, I almost, like, when I was writing the series, I wondered, is Dion gonna kill him? Are we gonna have to redeem her from murder? I didn't know. And then the other sister, Camille, is sanctified holy roller, but she's got a gambling addiction, and so she is waiting for God to bless her specifically in the area of hitting the lottery or winning at bingo. So
I love that.
Yeah, so she and she also she comes to a breaking point as well. She aside from her gambling addiction, she's in her marriage is in turmoil. So there's a lot going on in that Lies and Alibis series. It's one of my favorites. My readers consistently continue to keep purchasing it. I mean, I think I started publishing them, I want to say in 2013, I published the first one, and they have been great sellers ever since. So
awesome.
Check them out. Yeah.
You know what, Tiffany? I'm glad you're on the show, too, as an inspirational faith-based author, because I don't know where people gotten this idea or notion that because you write that genre, then we don't have any drama. That is so far from the truth, you know.
Oh,
as you mentioned,
wow, yes.
We have drama, you guys. There's drama. So I'm so glad I'm so glad that you wrote this series, if you will. And I'm so glad you just touched on the topic or the issues that these people have. I mean, we're human, and let's talk about it, because we have God and all that, like, we don't have problems, like, we don't have sorrows and things of that nature. That's just further from the truth, you guys. We're human, and we do have issues, and we do have problems. I think what I like the most about that is to be able to confess it and own up to it and deal with it, Tiffany. So in your book, you have form of redemption. I know it's a series, but do anyone get redeemed in there, or there's just no redemption?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how to write a story that doesn't lead back to redemption. That is just something that is at the core of all of my books, because Jesus is at the center of my life. So I can't write anything that doesn't lead back to him. And so no matter what twists and turns the characters go through, they absolutely get back to Christ. And so
Love it. Did you provide, because it sounds like the lottery thing, that sounds like a little comic relief. So do any of your books have, like, comedy in there somewhere?
Oh, it does? Absolutely. You know, I love to intersperse humor within my writing, because a lot of times I'm writing about things that are very heavy. In the Liza Alibi series, there is a young woman who dies from a pulmonary embolism from getting illegal butt injections. And so there's like a lot of, there's a lot of heavy stuff that happens. So just like in life, we laugh and cry at the same time.
Right.
So I do a lot of that in my writing.
You got the formula. It sounds like an intrigue. So where can we go and get your series, that series? And I'm going to talk about your other book, your new release, in a bit, The Pastor Husband. But for those who are listening, I'm very intrigued just as I am. How do we order your book?
Liza, the whole Lies and Alibis series is actually called Using Lies as Alibis. That's the series. It's on Amazon. It's exclusively on ebook. One day I might put it in print, but that is for my ebook readers. So if you have Kindle, Nook, any of your e-readers, you can go and download it. And even if you just have a computer or a smartphone, you can download on Amazon.com. They have a free app, and so you can read from anywhere. I actually read on my cell phone when I'm on the metro in the morning. So.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So here we go, you guys. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty to start the show, The Pastor Husband. All right. Let's talk about that. You knew you were going to write this, Tiffany? Was it something in the back of your head? You've written many books. I noticed that. Did you know you were going to bring this story to fruition? And let's go ahead and jump into it. Let's talk about what it's about, who it's about.
You know, okay, so The Pastor's Husband is about a female pastor. Let's just first of all talk about the title, because when I first started promoting it, oh, my Lord, my inbox filled up. Did you really go there? Like, I'm talking about, you know, a gay pastor. No, I didn't go there. I didn't go there. Now, I'm not saying I won't ever go there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
that title is very catching. Right, right.
Yes. So I definitely wanted to write about a female pastor. And in this case, they're co-pastors, a husband and wife. The wife has a prophetic gifting, and she gets invited to be on stage at this major, major women's conference. And, you know, she's invited there because word has gotten out that she is a prophetess and the real thing. She's the real deal. And so she gets on this big stage because she's been invited, and she's waiting for God to show up with a word. And that's what the people are waiting for. That's what they came for. They came for a prophecy. They came for a blessing. And God is silent. And so she panics because she's on the spot for a prophecy. And so she makes one up. God said thus and so. And when that word does not come to pass, there are consequences. And the woman who she gives the prophet lie to, she decides that she wants revenge when everything doesn't pan out for her. So the book is really about misappropriating the gifts that God puts in us. Because this woman truly has an authentic calling on her life. She has a gift, and she misuses it. She abuses it. And I don't want to go into too much of the story, but definitely that's at the core of it. And I've seen so much in church. You know, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't join the church until I was a reasoning and thinking adult, which makes a difference, because some things people look at and they see in the church and they just say, well, you know, that's just the church. But when you were raised differently and you come into salvation with your eyes wide open and you see things in the church, sometimes it grieves your spirit. And so some of the things that grieve my spirit, and probably more than anything, is, you know, that desire of that people have for a word, when they don't yes. have a relationship with God. Because
yes.
the only reason why they need the word so bad from the man of God or from the prophet is because
yes.
they don't have their own relationship.
Yes.
And I've been prophesied over in my life, and I believe mm-hmm. that the words were true, but that's only because I had already heard that from God and it was confirmation. So that's what the pastor's husband is about. The husband and wife have a ministry that is based on repentance, reconciliation, and redemption, and relationship. And somewhere along the way, the wife loses her way. And, of course, we bring them back, but not without consequences. And that's the thing. Whenever we misappropriate or misuse what God has blessed us with, there are consequences. So
that's right.
That's the story in a nutshell.
My gosh, you're preaching through literature, you guys. Woo! That is, she's preaching through literature. That is so powerful. Oh, my goodness.
I think some of the preacher anointing fell through the phone lines because I typically am not this prolific in the speaking arena. I am more prolific on the page. so some of your Pastor Lavelle's anointing fell through the phone lines. And
you're right, I'm still feeling
me.
It. Oh, my goodness, Tiffany. Oh, my God, I got to get that book. That is powerful. How long did it take to write it, question number one? And part two, what was one of the most difficult things to write? You know what? You said it. We're in church. Maybe somebody said, oh, she ain't writing about me. Oh, so what were some of the most difficult things you found yourself struggling to put in the paper on your book?
So it took me about 6 months to write this one. And that's really that's not 6 months straight of writing time. I say 6 months from the idea to me finishing it. So about probably 2 to 3 months of solid writing time because I write in spurts. I work full time. I've got a big family. So I'm not one of those writers that wake up in the morning and write for 2 hours and then eat bonbons the rest of the day. Like I have a full life. So it took me about 2 months of actual writing time. As far as difficult topics to broach, I think with this one, with this book specifically, difficult was me dealing with the consequences that the minister was going to have because I really do love my characters. And this, she's anointed. So it's almost like you don't want to see what happens, but when you read the story, you know it has to happen. It's spiraled so out of control that it has to happen, that God cannot, like, allow it to continue. I always, you know, have an issue with that with my books because I don't want my characters to hurt. But I am a real kind of writer, and the consequences have to be there. And honestly, consequences and conflict is what make a good story. If you don't have that, you know, if everyone is, oh, I love the Lord, and, you know, from start to finish, I mean, nobody wants to read that. I mean, first of all, most folks don't even like those kind of people, so they definitely don't want to read about them.
Right, because it's not real. It's not realistic. It's not real.
Exactly.
And, you know, I like, as you're reading, from a perspective that haven't read your book yet, I'll be very intrigued to know how did it happen. You ever said to yourself, like Jared, for instance, this is public information, had everything, Tiffany, you know that, you see it. And yet he allowed these crazy things to happen. Why? Why did you allow these things to happen? Somebody might say demonic spirits and all that. Yeah, but in your character, she was learned. She knew the word.
Mm-hmm.
She was gifted. Yeah. So I'm very intrigued. Don't give it away. You don't have to. I just say that as a person who's not read your book, I want to know, how did she allow this to happen? Why did she allow this to happen? So I'm very intrigued. So do you give perspective as to why this happened or how it happened?
Oh, absolutely.
Did she even know?
It was a moment of weakness, which we all have that. We all have that moment where, like, everybody's not walking in the spirit at all times. Paul talks about battling against his flesh, battling against his spirit, man. And so she was battling with her flesh, the desire to be accepted, the desire to blow up, if you will, in ministry, the desire to be successful, the desire for her ministry to be international. She was caught up in that. And she allowed it to overshadow her gift. And you see it a lot happen in ministry. Like, you'll watch a minister who came up from like a storefront church and who was on fire for the Lord. And then and preaching good word and not, you know, talking about money every 5 seconds, but then get a couple few thousand members, the next thing you know, that's all they're preaching is prosperity. I mean, you see it all the time. And so you wonder what happened. Where did they get away from what God called them to? Where did they get away from redeeming people? Where did they get away from Jesus? One of the major passages that I talk about in the book is about how Christ met the woman at the well. He told her, or he did three things. He told her about her sin. Then he told her who he was, and he told her how to worship. And there is like the foundation of ministry. We show Jesus, we point out the error, we show them Jesus, and then they can build a relationship with him through worship. And that's the core of ministry. Everything else is extra, and it leads people away from Jesus. And so when we start talking about things like, you know, how to out and get everything that God has for us, speaking of material possessions, we've kind of strayed away from the core of what Jesus wants us to be reconciled to him, hands down.
Yes.
And everything else will fall into place. And so that's kind of what my books are like. They're introducing people to Jesus in a way that's like unconventional, reintroducing people who think they already know Jesus to him. And that's really what I'm trying to do. As far as calling it Christian fiction, I just call it, you know, it's faith-based, because at the core of everybody's issues, the solution is Christ, and the solution is the Word of God. So
That's it. Tiffany, I want to connect with you after the call, not now, but at a later date. This is what I want to do for a while. At my church, I had a book club, right? And I was seeking a book for about three months. I'm serious. I'm like, what book can I read? You know, what can I recommend? What can I do? And just really, I was prompted to really connect with you as far as that goes. I want to do that. I want to feature your book. I'm not sure which, because my schedule is kind of crazy, but I do want to reference your book to my church and like a book club. So I want to connect with you and see how what we can do, okay? This book is powerful. Thank you for writing it. And it's not what you said trying. No, you are doing it. You really are. And I appreciate you and commend you on your writing. Thank you so much for just being obedient. So I want to connect with you in that aspect. I want to feature your book in our book club, The Pastor's Husband.
Amen.
Okay? So we're giving it an end, but as a poet, my favorite thing to do. Are you working on another stage production?
As far as stage plays right now, I'm kind of on hold because I'm relocating to Maryland, but we do have some things on tap for probably 2017 and beyond.
Awesome.
Absolutely never want to give up on that. That's one of my favorite things to do.
You do great work. Do you have any DVDs of your stage production?
I do, but I am probably my biggest critic. And until it is flawless, I would never sell anything that I don't consider to be perfection. So until I get some Tyler Perry money and can really put on the show that I want to put on, they won't have a DVD of it.
I'm telling you, cause Tiffany, I had three filmographers, three, do you hear me? And it still did not come out like I wanted. And you can tell in the church that I want to appeal to the masses, so I feel you. I'm perfectionist also. And we need that Tyler Perry money, and it's going to come. How about that?
Yes.
It's going to come.
Wait, so, was that a prophecy?
That's a prophecy. Receive it.
Okay.
That's a command, too, for both of us, girl.
I take it.
That's a command. Money come now. All right.
Right.
So, before you leave, give us your handle. How can we, again, order all your books? Maybe we want to invite you to Skype, whatever, getting ready to move. But how can we connect with you, Tiffany?
You can reach me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all the same way. So it's facebook.com/ Tiffany L. Warren. My handle on all three of those is the same. You can also come to my website, TiffanyLWarren.com, where I actually have my traveling schedule on there. I'll be doing a few spots in North Carolina in the upcoming
weeks.
I have a book conference coming up in Prince George County here in Maryland. Yeah. On May 14th. So check out my website if you want to come out and meet me and chat some more about books. That's how you can find me in cyberspace.
Oh, this is exciting. North Carolina is my neck of the woods. I'm going to go to your website and check that out. Hopefully we can meet one day. Awesome.
Okay.
So I'm going to connect with you. I want to do that with the book club, so I will be connecting with you soon. Don't forget me, all right?
I will.
Thank you, Tiffany. Great conversation again. I appreciate you.
And thank you for having me. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Okay.
Well, there you have it, guys. It's, the time is gone. Where do it go? Time passes by so fast when you have fun. So, you guys, thank you for just keeping up with me, your support with the magazine. April edition is now available. Go ahead and Google it, the Certain One magazine. I appreciate you guys always. At the beginning of the show, I said I want to give away a giveaway. I want to give away a giveaway. That sounds crazy. But I want to do a giveaway and just to showcase my appreciation to you. I think I'm going to really sponsor it via my Facebook page or Instagram. I don't know. We'll see. In the months to come, we'll figure it out. I just want to show my appreciation to you guys for your support. Always the emails. Just thank you. And again, follow us with Stage Production, Redemption, starring Tony Grant, Trisha Ellman Grant, and Ashlan Borrego. It's coming up. I'm telling you, we're going to make it do what it do. You want to follow us, you want to stick with us closely. I believe that this is going to be one of the best production there is. So thank you to my guest today, Pastor Lavelle Butler. Support him. Check him out. He's going to be on the Word Network with Bishop George Bloomer. That's right. And poet Ashlan Borrego, also known as the Poetic Soul Provider. Awesome. And, of course, author Tiffany L. Warren. Going to try to get that book club going. So thank you guys for joining us here on the Certain Ones Talk Show. And you know how we do here in closing. If no one told you that they love you yesterday, if no one told you that they love you today, tomorrow, last year, even this year, guess what? You are here to hear first on the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show. We love you with the love of the Father. Until then, let's go get it.
The Certain One Talk Show, aspiring to inspire. To find out more about the talk show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, you may log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/ The Certain Ones.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/ The Certain Ones.com. Thank you for tuning in to this week's show with Vanessa Richardson, inspiring author and playwriter.